So when I've talked to people about these executions that are happening next week, there's some confusion right up front. People say since 2003, Texas executes people all the time. Can you explain the difference between the state executing someone and the federal government?
There are about 2,600 people on death rows across the United States, 62 in the federal system. So the death penalty in this country is largely a product of state law and state practice. Most of the country hasn't been executing anybody over the course of the last 10, 15 years. Most executions have been occurring in a small number of states in the southern United States and the Southwest. So when people say, well, how come the federal government hasn't been carrying out executions, the federal government has been in line with what we've been seeing across the country. In addition to the decreased use of capital punishment that's resulted in fewer executions across the country, there's been a lawsuit in Washington, D.C. regarding the federal execution protocol, that is, the process by which the federal executions are to take place. And that lawsuit has been pending for 14 years. So as long as that suit was unresolved, the federal government, whether it was a Republican administration like George Bush or a Democratic administration like Bill Clinton, wasn't going to be carrying out executions.
So a little bit about the protocol. I understand the lawsuit to be about the drugs that were used, and now the federal government is preparing to use just one drug instead of the three-drug cocktail that had been previously used in Timothy McVeigh's execution in 2001 and the last execution there in 2003.
The federal government issued a new protocol last year, and that protocol changed the method of execution from three drugs to one drug. That didn't end the lawsuit, though, and there is still litigation pending that could affect whether these executions move forward. The prisoners have challenged the manner in which the government adopted pentobarbital as its drug of choice. And there is currently litigation going on even today as to whether they complied with the law in selecting pentobarbital. Now, when we're talking about pentobarbital as a technical matter, how does an execution with pentobarbital differ from the three-drug protocol? Pentobarbital is the drug that's been used by states like Texas and Georgia and Missouri in carrying out executions recently. Pentobarbital is controversial, but in a different way from the three drug protocols that have resulted in highly publicized botched executions. The difficulties with pentobarbital are that you cannot get it from an FDA-regulated manufacturer, so you're going to have to rely on a compounding pharmacy. And the regulation of compounding pharmacies is left to the states, and it's sporadic. And the compounders who have been involved in the executions that have been carried out with pentobarbital in the various states have had a very shady and questionable history. When you use a compounding pharmacy, there are questions about the potency of the drug, there are questions about the purity of the drug, there are questions about whether there's contamination, and there are significant questions about the health and safety history of the pharmaceutical companies that have been producing the drug.
Have there been any botched executions with that pentobarbital?
Yes, there have been. A couple of years ago, Georgia called off an execution with pentobarbital when they saw sediment in the vial, which meant that there were impurities. In Texas, the state had been redating its drugs to say that they had not expired. And in five executions over the last year or so, prisoners made comments about feeling the drug burning. That's something that you would get with an outdated or impure drug. Same thing happened in South Dakota, which we believe obtained its pentobarbital from Texas. And two of the prisoners executed there had made comments about feeling the burning. You're not supposed to feel anything. The pentobarbital is supposed to be, it's a sedative that's supposed to knock you out and keep you unconscious during the execution process. Unfortunately, even when it appears that an execution with pentobarbital has gone according to plan, it's impossible to tell what the prisoner was experiencing during the course of the execution. New data from a series of autopsies indicates that executions with pentobarbital are most likely very painful and not the painless executions that we had for years thought that they would be. And that the evidence shows that people executed with pentobarbital have had foam in their lungs coming up into their esophagus, and they have suffered from a condition called pulmonary edema. And so they are experiencing the equivalent of what the doctors say is the sensation you would have when you're being waterboarded or suffocated. And that is an intensive experience over the course of the sometimes 20, 25 minutes that it takes for an execution with pentobarbital to occur.
At this point, do you see the executions going forward? And if not, what would stop them?
It's hard to say whether the executions will go forward. If they are stopped, there are numerous lawsuits in several different states challenging these executions. The most likely way that the executions would be halted, if all of them are going to be halted, is the challenge to the lethal injection protocol that's currently pending in the federal district court in Washington. That's the court that halted the executions last time on some of the other issues raised in the case. And that court now has to resolve the issues that it didn't decide a year ago.
And I guess my last question is about one of the inmates, Mr. Perkey, who is set to be executed on Wednesday. He's got a stay of execution currently. How would he still be executed with that stay?
Wesley Perkey has a temporary stay of execution from the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and his execution will not go forward if that temporary stay remains in effect. The Justice Department has asked the full court to lift that stay of execution. The stay was granted by three judges on the court. And if that gets lifted, then we move on to other legal issues in his case. Mr. Perkey has a very serious claim that it's unconstitutional to execute him because he suffers from paranoid schizophrenia and advanced Alzheimer's. And as a result of those mental disorders, his lawyers say he no longer understands why he's on death row or why he's being executed. The U.S. Constitution is clear that you can't execute a person who has no understanding of why it is the execution is going to be carried out. So there's a very, very strong possibility that even if the first stay of execution is lifted, his execution won't go forward.
Is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is really pertinent to this particular situation?
First, let me preface it by saying the Death Penalty Information Center doesn't take a position for or against the death penalty, but we are critical of the way in which it's administered. These executions are problematic in several respects. First, if you're going to begin to carry out executions after not having executed anybody over 17 years, it's important to do so in a very careful way to avoid the possibility of botches because of inexperience or lack of training. But what the federal government here has done is scheduled three executions over the course of 5 days, which corrections officials have told the administration magnifies the risk that something will go wrong and that they won't have time to correct it for the other executions scheduled within the same week. The corrections officials have also explained to the Department of Justice that it is highly traumatic to corrections personnel to participate in putting a prisoner to death. And to subject them to that three times over the course of 5 days risks the mental health and emotional well-being of the corrections officials. Second, nobody has to carry out any execution during a pandemic. There is always the possibility that you can carry out the execution when it's safe to do so. But here, the federal government has chosen to bring in people from across the country to witness the executions three times in the space of 1 week. And they're being brought into a facility that already has COVID-19 in it. So that magnifies the risk that if they don't bring the disease into the facility, they may well be infected there and bring it out and spread it across the communities. That is a risk that is completely unnecessary to take. And the government loses nothing, having not carried out an execution in 17 years, to wait until the pandemic recedes when it is safe to try to carry them out. And finally, no government that is concerned about following the law and not breaking the law when it carries out executions would run the risk that its execution process is illegal or unconstitutional. Yet this administration has scheduled 3 executions in the space of 5 days, giving the federal courts less than a month to consider important issues as to the constitutionality. In an administration that respected the rule of law, you would have anticipated that the government would have waited until the federal courts could finally resolve the legal issues to make sure that we're not going to violate the law when we attempt to carry it out.